Third reading is from Luke's Gospel again. It's chapter 2, verses 8 through to verse 20. And it tells the story of the angels visiting the shepherds and declaring that Jesus has been born. So you can find it on page 1033 of our church Bibles. So Luke chapter 2, starting at verse 8. And in the same region, there were shepherds out in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And an angel of the Lord appeared to them. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them. And they were filled with fear. And the angel said to them, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Saviour, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped in swaddling cloths and lying in a manger." And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those with whom he is pleased." When the angels went away from them into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let us go over to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has made known to us." And they went with the haste and found Mary and Joseph and the baby lying in a manger. And when they saw it, they made known the saying that had been told them concerning the child. And all who heard it wondered at what the shepherds had told them. Mary treasured up all these things, pondering them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all they had heard and seen, as it had been told them. Well, a very warm welcome and a happy Christmas from me. If we haven't met before, my name's Callum. I'm the Associate Minister here at St. Peter's Barge. We have this story, don't we, told in the famous carol, "While shepherds watched their flocks by night, all seated on the ground, the angel of the Lord came down, and glory shone around." It's a famous one, it's an important one, and it's important to get it right, isn't it? Because there are many different versions to this. The shepherds washing their socks by night is a famous one that I found quoted in a magazine from 1902. That version's been around for over 100 years, folks. Rumours of what the shepherds were up to have been flying around ever since. While shepherds watched their turnip tops all boiling in the pot, the angel of the Lord came down and scoffed the whole blooming lot. While shepherds watched their flocks by night, all watching ITV, the angel of the Lord came down and switched to BBC. What were the angels and the shepherds doing? And what do they have to do with the baby in the manger? Let's start then with the angels, and we'll move on to the shepherds. The birth of Jesus had just occurred, and there are some shepherds doing exactly what you would expect them to be doing, watching their sheep. And suddenly, an angel of the Lord shows up. The glory of the Lord shines around the shepherds. And the shepherds, we don't have to guess at their reaction, do we? They're terrified. They were just watching their sheep, their flocks, and this supernatural angel appears. And of course, the angel has to start with the customary greeting of "Fear not, do not be afraid." They always start with that, don't they? And you can imagine the shepherds just standing there like, "This is quite literally the most terrifying thing that has ever happened to me in my life." And you're starting with, "Don't be afraid. I literally watch sheep, and now you're an angel standing in front of me." But the angel continues, "For behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. And you can see in verse 11, "For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Saviour, who is Christ the Lord. This will be a sign for you. You'll see a baby wrapped in swaddling cloths and lying in a manger." Good news of great joy. Jesus, the Saviour, the Rescuer, the promised Messiah, the Lord, has been born in Bethlehem, the city of David. And verse 13, "Suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, 'Glory to God in the highest.'" The original angel is joined by loads more, and they're singing. Elsewhere in the Bible, the voices of angels are described as like rushing winds. It would have been imagine a whole host of them singing. It would have been like a tornado to these poor shepherds on the mountainside there. And the angels, they're not singing necessarily to the shepherds, are they? Perhaps the shepherds are getting a glimpse of the angels singing to God. Glory to God, glory to God. Why were the angels praising the arrival of Christ in this way? Well, it's because the arrival of Christ is good news. Jesus is able to save people. And that is what angels can't do. And that's why the heavenly host are singing. It's probably not too hard to imagine some sort of global incurable disease, is it? Imagine a pandemic, but even worse than the one we've had, a pandemic where the death total is complete. Once you have it, that's it. Game over. Now, imagine there appeared a doctor who at just one touch could completely heal the incurable disease totally. Well, it doesn't take much, does it, for our NHS staff to film themselves dancing around in the streets and the hospitals? Can you imagine their reaction if such a doctor were to appear in the middle of such a horrific pandemic? It's sort of like this with the angels, isn't it? Apart from the incurable disease, the Bible says, is actually sin. It seems like an old-fashioned word, an old-fashioned Bible word, and it's maybe not a popular word, but to think of it simply and to get the meaning easily, we can think of it a bit like an acronym. Sin, the S for shove off God. That's what we do when we reject God. I'm going my own way. No, no to your way, God. S-I-N, shove off God, I'm going my own way. No to your way. And the Bible is pretty clear that that's each one of us has taken that acronym upon ourselves. We sin. In fact, have you ever done anything that is wrong? Ever thought something that wasn't good? Have you ever told a lie, cheated, lusted? Maybe today you find yourself sitting here in the position of knowing that you are sinful. Maybe you know that this year has been a year where you've put yourself first rather than anybody else. Maybe you hold out in the sinful ways. Well, the effect of this is to place a barrier between us and God, a chasm, if you like. It's a broken relationship. No longer are we able to love God, to worship God as we should. We might be tempted to think, well, perhaps God would be willing to overlook my sin, my shove off God attitude. I'm a good person, really. Well, you know, every thought, word, deed piled up, good versus bad. There are a lot of the ones that we think are good, but, they may well actually be bad in the end if we do it from a wrong desire to look good. So people think we're better than we are, maybe. The stacks are going to be pretty unevenly weighted. So what can we do about this? Well, we might be tempted to ask God to just simply overlook it. Maybe like this schoolgirl from Essex who last year wrote this letter to Santa. Dear beloved Father Christmas, I hope you've had a wonderful year. My year has been quite the opposite. I've tried to be good, but have miserably failed. I'll be honest, I do deserve a coal for Christmas, but I'd really like a present. And so she goes on to list what she would like. There's AirPods, games consoles, a trip to France, 5 tickets please, a live panda. They all appear on her list. The reality is that we all deserve a coal for Christmas. We may have tried our hardest. Like this girl, we may have failed miserably. But of course, God is a holy God. And so a little lie, a little trying our hardest, he's a just God who simply cannot overlook our wrongdoing. And so Jesus is born. Not only that, but he lives completely without sin. He's the only person to ever actually make it onto the good list, if you like. He is killed then, brutally on a cross, a death that the Roman Empire had perfected, but it was deemed too terrible for Roman citizens. It was only for foreigners and for slaves. And Jesus dies on that cross. But he doesn't stay dead. He's raised into new life, resurrected. And all of this, a sacrifice for us. It might not be the most Christmassy message. You may be wondering what you've actually come to this morning. But it's the reason that the angels were singing. So that, if you like, you can go on the good list under the name of Jesus, and he takes your place on the bad list. It's the reason the angels are rejoicing so much. Let's look, though, at what the shepherds then do. The angels go away, and the shepherds are left standing there, and I can kind of picture it as them being like, did that really just happen? It would have been quite surreal, wouldn't it? But verse 15, when the angels went away from them into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, let us go over to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has made known to us. And they went with haste, and they found Mary and Joseph and the baby lying in a manger. What did they do? The shepherds, they went and saw this for themselves. This is really worth noting. It's great application for us this Christmas. Go and see for yourself. That is one of the most beautiful things about the Christian faith, is that there is evidence recorded, people seeing for themselves. Shepherds, not merely taking things at face value, but concerned deeply for the truth. These things, they're recorded. Jesus really was born. He really did live. He really did die. He really rose. And there were witnesses all the way through. It's not a private revelation to just a single lone person. It's not myths and legends passed down where we don't know where they begin. It's genuine revelation that was visible, walked the earth, and was witnessed. You may have seen something around on the internet that sometimes gets called TikTok spirituality. You'll likely see more of it coming in the following years. It's almost like a step further than simply saying, well, I'm spiritual but not religious, folks. It's become popularized on social media. It's hard to classify. It looks like manifesting, meditating on your life goals and ideas and willing them into reality. It often involves slightly abstract ideas of astrology, stars aligning in certain ways to increase your good luck. Good and evil ideas Conspiracy theories are also thrown in this whole idea of TikTok spirituality. A professor of anthropology recently called it a religion in itself, but it's actually a religion of asking questions. That's what the professor called it, a religion of asking questions. But it doesn't seem that interested in finding any answers. But the unique thing about Christianity is that it's not a pit of endless questions, but there are genuine answers available. So today, rather than dismissing Jesus' birth, rather than thinking, well, it's worth asking some questions about and not actually looking for answers, let's be like the shepherds. Let's go and see for ourselves. Come and see Jesus, the good shepherd who laid his life down for us, his sheep, who gave his life so that we might have forgiveness of sins. And so the shepherds, they go, don't they? They went with haste. They found Mary and Joseph, the baby lying in the manger. You can see in verse 17, when they saw it, they made known the saying that had been told them concerning this child. All who heard it wondered at what the shepherds told them. The shepherds, they probably wouldn't have been able to shut up about it. What the angel said, it's true. It's all true. And then verse 19, Mary treasured up all these things, pondering them in her heart. It's an interesting verse, and it really makes you question that Christmas hit of Mary, did you know? It's like she had an angel come and tell her. Joseph had an angel come and talk to him. The angels came to the shepherds. It's like, yeah, Mary had a pretty good hunch, didn't she? And so verse 20, the shepherds return, glorifying, praising God for all they had seen, and it had been told, as it had been told them. They have a reason to rejoice, don't they? Jesus, what the angel said is true. Jesus Christ, the Lord, has been born. The Messiah, the Rescuer, the Savior. It's good news of great joy. A shepherd has come who can lead his people into eternal life with God. A shepherd who is of royal descent. A shepherd who became the lowest in order to save the low. This would have been the very greatest news these shepherds had ever heard. And not only that, but the fact that Jesus is born in the line of David, the greatest king of Israel, and in the city of David, Bethlehem, it's a royal birth. It's been a good decade for royal births in this country. We've had a lot of them. The shepherds, though, they're the first ones who get an audience with this promised king. The promised king who is the conqueror of death, the victor over sin, and the savior of God's people, and who now reigns at the right hand of his father. They have the right response, these shepherds. They go about praising and rejoicing. So maybe today you like the sound of Jesus becoming low to save the low, poor to save the poor, telling us to love our neighbors, be nicer this dark time of year. But perhaps you'd like to keep him as a sort of moral lesson. The issue with that is that it really misses the point of this passage. To feel warm and fuzzy about the nativity scene, but to ignore the reality that Jesus is a promised rescuer, meaning that we're in need of rescue. Well, that's really to remove Jesus from the nativity. It's to remove the Jesus who lived and died in our place, who rose again. If you like, it's kind of what keeps on happening to this family from a place called Dorwich, just outside of Birmingham. Every year, they set up this big nativity scene, light-up nativity scene, out of their house. And it's well-loved in the community. But there's a big problem, as Coventry Live reported. In perhaps the least festive crime possible, an integral part of the nativity element, a solid plastic baby Jesus has been pinched. Debbie said, "I'm sure it's just children messing about. We really thought he would have been found by now and returned. He has gone missing before and been returned." Maybe that's you. You'd rather leave Jesus out of the nativity. Leave Jesus out of things. Keep the Christmas joy, the fun, the festivities, and leave Jesus out. It doesn't really make sense, though, of what a gift Jesus is this Christmas. I actually have a gift here, a Christmas gift. It's funny just how much gifts can tell us about the people who are receiving them. We have a look at what we're giving this Christmas. There's a can of deodorant. So perhaps the person receiving this gift, maybe they smell just a little bit. There's a toothbrush. It's not looking good for the person having this gift. They probably need to brush their teeth a bit better. What else have we got? There's shower gel as well. Maybe it's two in one, in fact. So maybe they need a really good wash. You see, Christmas gifts, they can tell us a lot about the person receiving them. And Marcus, I'll just leave this here for you. You see, Jesus is the rescuer and king. He's the great gift for the people who need a great rescue. So this Christmas, let me encourage you. Come to him and follow him. The angels show us that he is uniquely qualified to save us. The shepherds, they go and see for themselves with their own eyes, and they leave rejoicing at the gift of this wonderful Savior. The shepherds get the hang of it. Let's each of us this Christmas ask God to show us the true nature of Jesus Christ, the Savior of the world. And let's ask God to give us the heart to rejoice and worship him.